Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Welcome everyone, my name is Werner. I'm not the most important person here. I just do my job, which is to break open the Word on Sundays. I enjoy it. It's the way I serve here. And I love to stand in my place. And my heart is to see every one of you guys develop and grow in the faith until you discover, firstly, that God really wants to use you. And then as you grow, find out more specifically where He's gifted you. Amen? Some of the ways we serve, it takes a bit longer to understand. Other things you find out quite quickly. You take a mic, you sing before everyone, and then you watch their faces, and then you'll realize whether you must serve there. So that's a quick one. And for all the other things, you can try out the hospitality, the connect table, all those things, and God will use you somewhere. Amen? Okay, so we're busy with a comeback, and it is the penultimate sermon. Next week, we're going to finish off with Henny from Joburg. It's going to be amazing. Amen. And I'm giving you guys a heads up so long. He's going to go intellectually quite strong. So if you've got friends with a lot of doubts and a lot of questions, they must be here. It'll be very, very good. So he's going to look at actually the resurrection from a scientific way and actually speak through it. And it's going to be awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. A lot of us will be at the burger wedding. I will be back with some of the guys. But in any case, God is here and church is going on. And dan gaan Maria Banimoon. Ons gaan het vir julle, want julle serve elke week. Amen, guys. You guys must go. Awesome. A sudden crash. That's what I want to talk on tonight. A sudden crash. It's interesting. I made this comment in the first comeback sermon. I just want to make it again and then work from there. It's interesting how often we try and decorate our lives to look a certain way to the world. You know, we almost in a certain sense often think of ourselves as a company, and a company needs a logo. Now you need to recognize what's on the inside of a store, otherwise we're going to spend a lot of time driving around finding stuff. As a company, you need a logo, and you need to have a public, you know, perception. And often we do the same with ourselves, and a certain element of it is true. In Scripture, it says, make sure that you live in such a way amongst people that they will see Christ in you. So it is true. You should, in a sense, be aware that you represent God. Amen? You guys agree with that? But there's something in this world, and it's not from God, that teaches us and puts an unfair, almost pressure on us to be perfect. All right? And so we develop ourselves as this product, and we want to put ourselves out there, and we actually hope that people think of us as a bit smarter than we actually are, or a bit prettier, or the complete person, whatever. And even if it's just under the layers of our hearts, it's there. And then we have an issue. We run into a wall very quickly when we realize that we are failing before people. And then we come into a crisis of identity. So who am I? Because on Facebook, I'm this person. But in real life, these people have noticed I'm failing. And so what we often do in that circumstance is we exit out of that relationship group and we run away. And we start a new group of friends or a new cluster. And we uphold our identity, and then they see we're actually broken, we've got feet of clay, and so we move and we never actually really grow because we're living with a mask. But now the paradox is we're living with a mask so that we might be accepted. But the truth is people are more drawn to broken people than perfect people. And so we run on an emotional treadmill that is such a waste of energy and thoughts. Are you with me? People love people that is broken and know it. People will always be more drawn to someone with a lot of failures. They don't mind to say it and actually joke about it. People are drawn into the presence of those people. And this is what the story actually is about. It's about the heart that may be broken, yet so beautiful. And that is where God comes in, and also other people, and you really start to live. That's where I'm taking you tonight. A sudden crash. I'm starting at the end, and then I'm going to start and it'll end there again. And for those with the books and the pens, yes, I will give you 6 points. We'll get there, okay? At some stage, one night, or actually the same day that Jesus got crucified, he got his disciples together. I'm going to just almost move very quickly through a few scriptures just to paint a picture, and then I'll zone in and unpack a smaller piece of scripture. Is that okay? Just to get you firstly on the same grounds, then in the same building, and then we'll narrow it down. Jesus is speaking to his disciples in Mark 14, verse 27, and he says, "You will all fall away." It's not a great speech. It's not nice to hear, okay? "For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." That is what Jesus says to the disciples. "But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." And Peter normally takes the opportunity to speak. And he says, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." That's what he said at that moment. And Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night," the same day, "this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." All right? What Peter is saying is, my love for you is at such a place, it is developed to such maturity that nothing will separate me from you, Jesus. If I have to go to the grave with you, so be it. That's what he's saying. I will not fall away, even if they fall away. So this is what we get here. And so now I'm just going to fast forward the story a bit. What happens in the meantime is they go out, they pray. Jesus goes and pray in the garden. Judas, another friend of Jesus, betrays him for money. Same as with Joseph. Can you see the parallel between Joseph and Jesus? Joseph got sold, so his brothers took the money. Jesus got sold by a man called Judas for money. Okay, so we see that parallel. So they came, they took Jesus, and they are interrogating him. And following at a distance, we get Peter, the one who said, "I will never fall away, I will never leave you." And this situation plays off where Peter are in the presence of some people. And the scripture says, Mark 14, verse 67, "And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him, 'You also were with the Nazarene Jesus.'" This is what this lady says to Peter. "But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you mean.'" How's that? Ek het nie so verstaan nie. Lekker verstaan wat jy bedoel nie. Playing dumb, okay. "I neither know nor understand what you mean." "And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girls saw him and began to say to the bystanders, 'This man is one of them.' But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders said again to Peter, 'Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean.' But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.' And immediately the rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times.' And he broke down and wept. I just want to pray quickly. Holy Spirit, we just want to open our hearts to you. You're so welcome. Less of me and more of you, Lord. That's our prayer, Lord. Less of the band and more of you. Less of shofar and more of you, Lord. Let us fade away as you are glorified amongst us. Let we hear only your words. And may it enter our hearts pure and true. Use this passage tonight to move our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And he broke down and wept. Okay. Who's experienced this before? To break down and cry. It happens to us. It's different roads we walk to get there, but in some stages happened to me before. I mean, I think I might appear like a person that kind of have it together. This has happened in my life many times. My poor wife has to live with me. It happens to her daily. But in any case, that's not the point. Lovey, you've got the endurance of the faith. I must honor you for that. There's many things that gets us there. Broken relationship. Broken trust. But I trusted you with everything. You said, she said. I thought this would not end this way. And it did. They said I shouldn't, and I did, and here I am again. Maybe it's on a different level. Maybe you walked away from God at some stage. You've got serious, almost bitterness in your own heart for where you ended up. Maybe you feel like you're neglecting your calling. Maybe you feel like you've missed it. The bus has left, and here you are. So all those things that take us to those moments, and he broke down and wept. I'm telling you what, a man like Peter, think of quite a strong man, you know. Maybe it's your dad, maybe a friend. I'm telling you, he's quite a robust male, Peter. He's always in front, always ready to fight, chopped off a man's ear with a sword. Come on. This is a rover Odi. What is happening in his heart that he gets to a place where he breaks down and weep? Great men also experience this, even if it's beyond the layers. We all get here in some other stage. But what to do when this is your place? And maybe you are here today. Actually, maybe you're keeping it together on the outside, but on the inside, if someone just presses the right buttons, if they just bring up the right conversation, if they just string the words together in a certain way, you realize underneath you're actually there. Or maybe God has really worked with you and you know of a few friends that are there. But either way, today the Holy Spirit is here and there's something he needs to drop in our spirits. Amen? We need to understand this because we live in a broken world. So where to from here? A few days later, a few women went to the grave just to put spices on Jesus' body to preserve his body. Bodies can smell when there's no more breath in them. And so they're going there with spices, and this is where we find ourselves. And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. We now almost leapfrogging Henny's sermon. He's going to focus on the resurrection next week. We started before and now we're jumping over. The stone was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. It's an angel. And they were alarmed. They were scared. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Can you note the message of the angel? You go tell his disciples he's coming. And make sure you tell Peter. You mention his name. Now, I don't know why. I don't know what Peter said to the disciples at that stage. Maybe he said, listen, guys, I've tried. Every time I say something, I'm wrong. Every time I give everything, I fall back. I'm done. I think I'm out. Maybe that's what he said. Maybe he didn't say that. Maybe he stayed connected, but maybe he was just that brokenness remained on the inside. But for some other reason, this angel said, go tell his disciples and Peter, I'm coming. Peter, you are included. You're not excluded. You must be there. He is coming for you. This is the word that goes out. Now we're jumping to the next scene where Jesus actually does what he said he will do. He's coming for them. And here's the piece of scripture we're going to focus on. John 21. There's your background. Let's get into this. After Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, it's the start of the story, and he revealed himself in this way. Now check this interesting verse. Simon Peter, Thomas, and Nathanael, the first three names of the people he revealed himself to, who can say what those three names has got in common? Peter, Thomas, and Nathanael. All three of them doubted or seriously failed Jesus personally. Peter, we just read, denied him three times, wept bitterly as his heart broke. Nathanael, what did he do? Who can tell me? The first time when the disciples came to him and said, the Messiah is here, he said, can anything good come from Nazareth? I can't believe it. His heart changed. But at first, you would not believe that Jesus is this Messiah. He's coming to see this man. Thomas, doubting Thomas, can't believe he's risen. So if you ever doubted, have you been wrong? Have you messed up? He's on his way to connect with you, not to exclude you. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to go on. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Number one, when you need a comeback, if you've ever related with Peter, if you've been heartbroken and weeping, number one, when you need a comeback, he will come and look for you. He's not like us, guys. No, that person messed around with me and everyone was there. They just know that I was right, they was wrong. They must come and say sorry to me. I'll go on with my life until they come and make right from their side. They were wrong, I were right. I'm hanging around yet. I'm sorry, not Jesus and not believers. He seeks you out. He finds you. There's a distance between Jesus and Peter, emotionally and logistically. Jesus, he bridges the gap. He closes the distance to get into Peter's space. He will find you and help you with your comeback. Are you with me? How does this happen today? You mess up again for the thousandth time, all right? And you're like, surely he's left me. Surely God has left me. This is done. And you go on with your life. It's almost like you want to put on earphones on your heart. Just put noise and go. And then underneath everything you hear, come back. I'm waiting for you. You're like, turn the music up. Down, down, whatever you listen to, and then it doesn't matter how loud you make it. It doesn't matter how full you make your program. That moment just before you go to bed, in that moment, or in the shower when you can't have earphones on, you hear, come back, and he seeks you out every time. Incredible. And then you say, "Nah, I'm going to step it up. I'm just going to mess it up even more." And whatever you can do to self-destruct, it does not work, you hear him. And then above all, vessel phones you. Kom jy self toe vanaand. And you think, I'm going to change my number, I'm going to live on flight mode. But that's the way God is just saying, I have not forgotten about you, and also not the other disciples. And it drives you insane that they will just not leave you alone. But they won't. They never will. Because he always will come for you. Isn't that amazing? We serve a God that will not let go. Like us, he's different. If this relationship was 50-50, we'd be in our chops, all of us. This relationship is 100, and then whatever we can give is a bonus. And it's all from his side. You just give that mustard seed. You just say, yes, en vessel te al jou klaar weer op vir sel. En is verby, daar is jy. That's how God works. He seeks you and he will find you. You cannot hide from him. Praise God for that. There's a very cool verse in Zechariah. It says, you are a prisoner of hope. That's awesome to be in that prison, amen? You're a prisoner of hope. Let's go on. Jesus said to them, now he's standing on the beach. They don't know it's him. He's already eliminated distance. He's now looking forward to see them. And he said, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. It seems like every time Jesus is on the beach, there's no fish in the nets. Okay, same story here. And he said to them, cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, which is the author of the Gospel of John, every time he says this, talking about himself, that disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. Okay. Did anyone else see that? Why are you laughing? I just don't know if we're on the same page. Because it's very funny to me. He puts his clothes on before he swims, because he was stripped for work. Does it sound funny? Let's just another translation. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. Now, listen, I've heard about skinny dipping, but skinny fishing, come on. What is this guy thinking? Excuse me, do you need to fish naked, Peter? How do you fish? And before he swims, he puts clothes on. It's for me, it doesn't make sense. And everyone in the boat is like, praise the Lord, he's off the boat. Just put on some clothes. And earlier the day, there was a big fight because James forgot the bread. And they said, now today, you're standing next to Peter when we're pulling in the nets. He said, no. And when he moves around the boat, everyone is like, as long as you catch fish, Peter. He puts on his clothes, which is a good start for the rest of the story. And he didn't jump into the sea, he threw himself in. Okay, I don't think that John liked Peter a lot. He's always trying to give him something. So the other disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Oh, sorry, I'm back to the same verse. Sorry, guys. Number 2. When you see him, or when you hear him, or when that irritating person in the small group phones you, He's calling. Jump and swim. He has not left you. He is calling you back. He's walked all the way from the grave to be there so that you can see it's Him and then jump. Do not miss the opportunity when it is there. Amen. He's very good to us. It's very good to us. He will eliminate distance. And when we see Him, do the same. Amen. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. And Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153. All right, someone was into stats, they knew exactly. And although there were so many, the net was not torn, and Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask Him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. All right. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so were the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after He was raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, He said to Simon Peter, now, weet jy wat 'n wit olifant? Now there was a 153 fish and one white elephant on the breakfast on the beach. I'll tell you why. Because Peter is probably thinking, I messed it up. And here he is. What is he going to do? Is he going to chase me away? Is he going to make an example of me? Am I Satan? What is he going to do here? And now it is like torture because now we must first eat breakfast. And who's been called into your boss or seniors of the hoofse kantoor omdat jy nie moeilik het? Sit gee jou hand op. Okay, to most of us. And then the following happens. So you come in there, you're like, oh, I'm going to do it. I want to tell him and I'm going to show him some stuff. Okay. You go through the door and then he says, do you want some tea? And then you think, tea? Okay. And you say, yes. And then it's like, so how are you doing? How's your wife? And you're like, oh, he's going to drop it any moment now. And this is what's happening here, okay? And so it's now there's no more fish. And Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, there's been a lot of speculation what more than these means. Is it the life of a fisherman, because you've been going back to and fro? Do you love me more than the boats and the fish? You know, will you leave your idea of a life for me, which is one? Or the other is, do you love me more than the other disciples? Which sounds like a weird option. But I'll tell you what. Just a few days ago, Jesus said, they're going to strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And what did Peter say? He said, even though they will go, I will not go. I love you more. Their love is matured up to a certain stage, but I will go to you even to the grave. Can you see what Peter did? So I can see Jesus. You may differ with me, and it's okay. I think we must leave our ideas of our callings for Christ, but I can see Christ coming back to him, not talking around the conversation, putting his finger on it and say, Peter, so do you love me? With the past event in mind, do you love me more than these people? Let's talk about it. Now this is val met die deur in die huis, okay? This is going straight to the matter here. What I want to tell you here, number three, is Jesus will initiate vulnerable conversations into your life. He is not afraid of that. Guys, sometimes we are shying away from conflict and just putting stuff on the table. It's not nice. Once we've done it, you feel a lot better. But Jesus is not shy to initiate these conversations. He puts it on the table. This is very important for you to start your relationship with Christ or keep it healthy. You cannot have and maintain a healthy relationship with God without frequent, vulnerable conversations. I'm a mess up, but you are in my life. Help me. Now we can go. I said I would do it, Lord, but I failed you again. Thank you for your grace. Help me. Now you can go again. You see, the very thing we shy away from, vulnerable, you know, oh, come on, let's have another honest moment. Who of you have ever dodged someone at work? Come on, because you just don't want to bump into them today or the rest of your life, okay? Now, Jesus is that other person, and he will walk right up to you and say, I'm so glad to see you. Let's talk. But how you feel after you've been honest with him is just, that's a peace beyond the understanding, because it is beyond, it's in your spirit. I mean, you walk away from maybe church, someone prayed with you, you've been honest, or you sort it out with him or her, and you go to bed like this. And you can't say why, because your budget is still not working out. The roof is still leaking and the dog is still barking. But you, something has moved. God has moved in and there was a vulnerable moment in your life. It's the only way we can connect with Christ. You can't get around it. Amen? To make a comeback, he will initiate it. I've shared this story too much, so I'm not going to do it again. I'm just going to say some of the most precious times in my life has been the times when I've opened my heart for people to really be honest with me. And to hear things about yourself, which is not just so amazing. So to hear challenging feedback is difficult. Try giving it to someone. You'll see how difficult it is for them. But it's the times I've grown the most. Always. He will initiate vulnerable conversations. He's jumping into the conversation there. Let's go on. And he said to him a second time, now, let's talk a bit of Greek for you guys. Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? Three times. The first time he speaks to him, he says, Peter, do you agapeo me? Do you love me more than these? Okay, the word he's using is agape. Do you love me with a perfect love? You said you'd die for me. You said it. I didn't say it. I'm asking you now, do you love me with that love? Agapeo love. It's a perfect love which Peter claimed a few days before. He answers back. He says, Lord, I philios you. That's what Peter says. He says, I love you like a friend. For the first time, Peter is being honest about his love for Christ after he's messed up. And in the beginning, it was a lot of bravado. This time, Jesus says, do you love me with this love? Peter says, no, I love you like a friend. The conversation would have gone like that. Vessel, do you love me? Ek maak hom ongemaklik. And dan sê hy, ek like jou nogals. It's something like that, all right? And he asks him a second time. This is now the second time. And he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he uses the same word again. Jesus uses the same word. Do you agapeo me? Do you love me with a perfect love? And he said to him, yes, Lord, I love you. And Peter says, again, I philios you. He's being honest about his broken love for Christ for two times in a row. Jesus says, tend to my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Guess what word Jesus used? Philios. Okay? Do you love me like a friend? He answers, you know, I can only love you like a friend, Jesus. If I say anything else, I am lying. Just a few nights ago, you know what I did. You know how I messed up. You know I can't love you with an agapeo love. It's not in my genes. I wanted to give up. I told the guys, let's go fishing. I don't love you with that love. And I fish naked above it all. And Jesus says, so do you love me like a friend? And he says, yes. If you can be honest with him about your heart's limitations, which makes you a vulnerable person, Christ will take your broken love as if it's perfect. Why? Because love is actually something that grows. If you are incomplete and shattered, you can become more whole as time goes on. And Jesus knows it. He's just so happy that this man, for the first time, is honest. I love you. With a love that's here, I wish it was there, but that would be a lie. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Number four, be honest about your heart's limitations. Be honest about it. You know, my theme of repentance, and I've shared it with some of you the last while, is the fact that I've got a wandering heart. Not wandering like soos ek wonder, my heart wat rondloop, a wandering heart. My heart is, it's like the world can just shout to me and take my attention. I'm like, God, what's going on with my heart? I wish it was with you 100%, and like, you know, I'm just immune to the world, but I'm just help my heart. And every time I do it, I can sense Jesus saying, I know you've got a wandering heart. You just bring that broken thing every day. And I will heal it as time goes on. He will initiate the vulnerable conversation and be honest. When he's on the beach and he says, do you agapeo me? Don't say yes, you do, because you don't. You love him with a broken love, and he is okay with that if you come with the truth. Isn't that amazing? Straight over to number five. Peter makes a comeback so that he can help others make a comeback. Why? Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? You know I love you. Tend to my lambs. Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Every time this man's comeback is related to working for God. There's no disconnection between your relationship with God and the fact that you must go and change this world for him. That's why people, and I'm not trying to be rude, I'm just being honest. Christians who like sitting around, they don't like this church. Because we're not good with that. And it's not my fault, it's your fault. Because you move, and so if someone just sits, they feel left behind. And I'll take that. We must move. Feed the sheep, tend to the lamb. Feed the sheep, tend to the lamb. With love and grace, we must move. We are called not to sit, but to obey him. Amen? And that's why he wants to help you make a comeback. Almost done. Truly, truly, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking to Peter. Now, they've sorted the elephant does not do it. Okay? Peter's saying, oh, I'm feeling a lot better. I connected with my Savior again, and now Jesus is saying something to him. And this is what he's saying. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. The next verse says, it's not on there, and he spoke this about the way Peter would one day die. What Jesus is saying is one day people will take you and they will do with your body as they please and you will die for me. And believe it or not, but this is redemptive words, because the very man who was so full of bravado, I will never leave you, I will die for you, he fell away that night, denied Jesus 3 times. What does Jesus tell him? We've connected, we're okay. And let me tell you something about your filial's love for me. It's going to grow. It's going to grow. And one day, they're going to come for you. And you're going to have an opportunity again, because they're going to say, do you love this Jesus man? And you're going to say, yes. And they're going to say, if you say it again, we will crucify you. Do you love this man? And he will say, yes. And they took him to crucify him, Peter. And he said, only crucify me upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior Jesus. At the end, he did die for Christ. Now, he didn't love Christ the way Christ loved him. That's not possible. But can you see how far his love for Christ grew? At the end, he died for him. That is amazing. So where are you today? If we can go to the last slide, please. Even if you are on your knees and at the moment you feel like you're just a city with broken walls. I mean, doesn't it? Nah. It's a journey that can start for you. And maybe you've actually in the process, maybe you've been around here for a few months and you actually are drawing near. I want to encourage you. The peace you feel already, don't stop there. Press on. And maybe Jesus has just started with a vulnerable conversation. And this is all weird because out there you just did what you wanted to do. And now there are people holding you accountable. And they are saying to you, listen, this thing in your life is really going to hurt you. I want to show you in scripture how this is going to hurt you and maybe one day your marriage and all this stuff. And now people are having these conversations with you. You want to hit them with a cricket bat and stuff. But it is God, not them, initiating heart-to-heart conversations with you to love you and grow you. And if you've been around here and you're already in the ministry, you've already made a comeback, go back and visit number one. Because it never stops. Daily, his mercies are new for me. And daily, I bring my heart in vulnerability. And just an encouragement, guys. Embrace your journey that God has for you. It is different than mine. If you had a dream that one day you'd be a worship leader, and everyone agrees that it's not your calling because you can't hear the tone. Okay, that must be heartbreaking. Let me tell you what, embrace what God has for you. He is not confused. At one stage, 90% of men wanted to be Springbok rugby players. That doesn't work. God has amazing plans for your life. Embrace that journey. It will be hard, but it will be so much harder to walk any other journey and boring. Trust him and amazing things will happen through your life. Amen. Let's stand tonight and respond to Jesus. He is here. I want you to close your eyes where you are standing and I want to ask you, what is God saying to you in your heart? If a church ever made you feel like they should control you and make your decisions for you, that is a lie, because I know what happens afterwards. You go home and you are alone. You and your heart and God. The only thing a congregation like Shofar or a pastor like me or a worship team leader can do is just to create opportunities for you to hear His voice. But at the end, you must decide. Amen. At the end, it's in your heart, and it's you that's going to get married. And it's you that's going to stand before Him. And once we're through the gates, we will worship together. But if tonight is just a moment for you to hear Him, then I'm happy. Holy Spirit, speak to your people. We belong to you first, even before we belong to our husbands or our wives. We are yours. What a great person to belong to are you, Lord. So soft with us, yet in clarity you show us the way of pain and the way of healing. I just feel I have maybe a word for someone, and here it is. People will fail you, but God will never fail you. Ever. People will fail you, but God will never fail you. And if people and pastors or dominees or priests or whatever has given a broken expression of Christ in such a way that you have walked away from Jesus because of ministers, then I just want to say to you, you need to differentiate between people and God. He's perfect, and we are not. Amen. And if God can use someone like me, and I'm not trying to be false humble, I am really a broken man in so many facets of my life, then He can use you. Amen. So I want to ask tonight, if you need to jump off a boat and swim to Him on the shore to have that conversation, to right the wrongs. Now I want you to put up your hand very high quickly, just where you're standing. Thank you for those hands. Thank you so much. Just keep it up. If you need to speak to Him, honest and vulnerable, put your hand up very high quickly. Someone's going to pray with you. There's another hand. There's another hand. Don't be shy. Just keep your hand up. Someone, and I just ask facilitators to go to the aisles or the outside. Someone's going to just come, and if your hand is up, you can open your eye and someone will catch your eye and just invite you to come and stand with them. Cool. We're just going to be calm for a moment, and whether you're new here or have been here quite a while, the Holy Spirit is here in this moment to work with people. So I want you just to stand where you are right now and respect this moment and not take your handbag and leave right now. Let's just respect what God is doing now. If you had your hand up and someone is with you, just move to the wall where you guys have some space to pray. Just going to ask the band maybe to minister to us. If you're not going to pray with someone right now, just have a moment with God, okay? Just enjoy His presence just for a moment while we just give opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work. If you just want to sit in God's presence, you're welcome to do that.
Servants.
Light, and when I'm done praying, you are welcome to get something to drink and eat at the back. You're also welcome to come to the front and say, how's it? And maybe if you have a prayer request, anything, nothing is too weird or strange for us to pray for and to stand with you, so you're more than welcome. But let me just close for us. Jesus, you are everything. Once we've all have died and moved on and this building maybe does not even exist anymore, if you've not come back yet, you remain even if we move on. Oh, we are so nothing, Lord, compared to you. But we give ourselves to be a part of your story. How sweet. Be with us this week. It's a lot of people going out into difficult, harsh work circumstances. Be with everyone, Lord, and protect us as we go. Amen.